Hey everybody, Tony Bruschi from The Dark Side. Hope you're enjoying our programs. And if you like what you're hearing, be sure to check out one of our other shows, Real Ghost Stories Online. You can download it wherever you download podcasts. Each week we put out a bonus episode jam-packed with some of the best ghost stories we get in. Here's a 15-minute preview of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Powers beyond us. That's really what we talk about a lot on this show when we're dealing with ghosts, spirits, energies, things like that. Where exactly do these powers come from? Where does this energy come from? Maybe energy is more the word I'm looking for. Energy in the form of maybe a deceased loved one, a deceased pet. Maybe it's something much darker than that. Energy has very different forms, just like the moods that you may be in every day. That's energy. Your energy going in one way or the other, positive, negative, neutral. One day can be the best in the world, the next can be the darkest, lowest place you could possibly be in. That you're the vessel that's there feeling all of those emotions and having that energy flow through you. On today's episode of the show, we have two different stories of energy taking control of emotions and things in very interesting ways. One, love pets returning from the grave. What would you do if that happened? One family finds out the answer to that. And then a very negative energy. Some early 20-something, late teens go out paranormal investigating and discover they need to perform an exorcism. They need some of that positive energy because one of their friends seems to be taken over by something. Can they perform that exorcism? And did it work? Those are our stories for you today on EPP bonus episode number 374 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Animals are wonderful. Insert something here. Interesting, wonderful, fun, comforting. And animals can be scary too. And fortunately, in our next story, it's a comfortable animal story. It's not a, you know, weird thing lurking in the dark so much story. It's a story about someone and their pets. Unfortunately, an animal passes in the story, so trigger warning there. But it's a story about animals coming back. It's a story about their connection with the living and what they mean to us. If you've ever had one pass, you know how difficult it can be. It can be like losing a family member. Over the years, they become so attached and close to us. And just as sometimes the living return with a message of hope, a message of I'm here. I'm okay. I'm on the other side. Sometimes they do as well. Take a listen. I found your podcast in April of 2020 and have been hooked. I've been debating and writing in for a few reasons. Number one, I'm superstitious and feel like talking about them will make weird things happen. Number two, nothing I'm writing about was like The Conjuring scary, really. And three, I've been trying to group the experiences into related themes. I've been interested in horror movies, ghost stories, if I can remember, probably from the age of 10 or so. I remember when I was in elementary school and even high school. I took some creative writing classes, and what did I decide to write about? An abandoned house that three friends, based off my two best friends and I, decided to go and investigate based on the legend that it was haunted. As a young boy, I loved unsolved mysteries, the Robert Stack years, Rescue 911, and when I was a teen all the way through today. I love watching the show A Haunting. So basically, I was destined to have anxiety as an adult. Anyway, I like spooky shit. Furthermore, I play guitar and have ADHD, although undiagnosed until a year ago. I'm 40 as of writing this. This, I believe, plays into explaining some of the story below. If you read this far, great. I'll stop rambling and tell some of the stories. But this story takes place in 2000. I was a senior in high school. I had a border collie mix medium-sized dog named Lacey because she chewed shoelaces. Lacey was black and white in color. She had a black tail that curved upwards to a white tip. Her legs were black and her paws were white. On the day the story took place, it was either late winter or early spring. I remember the ground was hard and both of my parents were at work, so I used my key to get in the house. I play guitar and have since middle school, so being that I was home alone, I ran up to my room and cranked my amp all the way up. I was playing loud with my Magnavox stereo, yes, old school stereo tape deck, 6 CD changer, tape deck, whole 9 yards, and somehow I heard my telephone ring, even with the amp and stereo loud. I picked up the receiver. I said, "Hello?" in a questioning tone. The direct matter-of-fact voice on the other end said, "Your dog has been hit." The next thing I remember was sprinting down through my backyard, down the hill to the main road leading to my neighborhood. I remember a minivan parked in the direction exiting my neighborhood. Another sedan was parked on the side facing in the direction entering my neighborhood. There was a man on the street standing over my dog, putting a blanket on her. Whoever hit her had already fled the scene. The next thing I remember was my little brother's school bus pulling up. Thankfully, the lady with the minivan came out and comforted and distracted my little brother while the person driving the sedan stood in front of the scene to block it. The animal control showed up and took my dog to the Andover Animal Hospital. I took my little brother back home and a neighbor stayed with him until my older brother got home. Meanwhile, I got a ride to the animal hospital from the guy who called me to tell me my dog was hit. Sadly, my dog Lacey was killed from the impact with the car. Later that night, my parents grilled me with a barrage of questions. "Will, what happened? How did she get out? Was she here when you got back from school? Did you shut the back door this morning when you left for school? Was the back door open when you ran down to the bus stop?" I could not remember. I tried to remember leaving that morning, but I could not recall if the door was open. I couldn't even remember if the door was open at all when I ran out the back door and down the porch stairs. I felt so dumb and so guilty. Did I leave the door open, I wondered? Was the door open when I ran out of the house? These were some of the questions I asked myself and could not answer. I was in shock. I was heartbroken. This was my dog who I took care of mostly. I could not believe she was gone, and worse, I couldn't remember if I was a catalyst for the events that took place that day. After getting Lacey back from the animal hospital, my older brother and I grabbed 2 shovels to dig a hole. I went to the backyard and walked down a steep hill to the tree line that formed a barrier between our yard and the marsh. On the other side of the marsh was a road that my dog had been hit on. We must have been digging for 20 minutes and had barely gotten a foot down because the ground was frozen. After some time, we determined that there was no way we were going to dig far enough down to get her buried in the backyard. We decided the best option would be to take her back to the animal hospital and ask for her to be cremated so we would not have to dig down as far. My older brother and I had been digging for so long I hadn't realized how dark it had gotten. From our vantage point at the bottom of the hill, we could see our house and our neighbor's house. Our neighbor's house had lights on in the backyard. As we neared the top of the hill, I heard a jingle of dog tags. My older brother asked me if I had heard the jingle of the tags. "Yeah," I said. "The neighbors must have Dudley outside," my older brother said. "Yeah, sounds like it," I replied. As we reached the top of the hill, we looked over the neighbor's yard. The deck and underneath the deck were Dudley and old Japanese black and white fluffy dog usually was leashed. Dudley was inside. Nothing was outside, as it was probably around 8 p.m. "That's weird," I said to my brother. "Yeah, maybe it's a ghost dog," my brother joked. "Dude, cut it out," I said. As we crested the hill and walked past the neighbor's house, there was no one out, as it was that night. It was exceedingly difficult to sleep. I was so depressed. A few days had passed, and although I was sad, I was feeling better. On the day Lacey died. To set the scene a bit more, the way my room was set up, there was a halogen lamp against the wall. Across from the threshold of the door, in between 2 windows, to the left of the windows, there was a trundle bed. If you're unfamiliar with it, it's basically a bed with one open side to get in and out of the bed and three boards around the rest of the bed. When looking at the left wall where the bed was positioned against my dog, Lacey, used to lay in the left back corner of the bed near the front of my bed. On this occasion, I walked into my room and walked towards the halogen lamp. As I looked left towards the bed, I saw a dark lump at the foot of my bed in the back corner. My initial thought was that I left a pillow, my comforter, some clothes lumped up in the corner of my bed. I looked closer, and it looked to be in the shape of my dog, Lacey, curled up like a half-moon shape. I froze for a few seconds and fumbled for the light to turn it on as I kept my eye on the corner of the bed, and I thought to myself, Lacey? I turned on the halogen lamp, and as the light intensely increased, I looked at my bed and noticed it was completely made. The sheets were tucked in. The comforter was pulled up nicely to the pillows at the head of the bed. There was nothing in the corner of the bed. I turned and quickly ran out of my room. I told myself I'm just sad. I'm imagining seeing something in the corner of my bed. A few weeks go by and nothing happened. What about my daily routine in life, whatever it is as an 18-year-old? The upstairs in my childhood home was set up in this way. There were a few steps, three or four, that led to a landing, and then you turn left and walk up to the second floor. This would be running across the house if you were looking at the house from the front. As you reach the second floor landing, there was one of my brother's bedrooms on the left. Another brother's bedroom was straight ahead when walking up the stairs to the top landing. There was many rooms to the right of the second floor landing. Moving right from my room, there was a bathroom, closet, connected by a long hallway. At the end of that hallway was my parents' room. One day I was walking down the hall towards my parents' room. The door was slightly open, with enough room to see into my parents' room and see the corner of their bed, but not fully open. As I made my way towards their bedroom, I saw what looked like white paws and a black tail that was curled up with a white tip across the opening of the door towards my parents' bedroom. I froze again and said, "Did I just see that?" That's going to wrap up the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear the rest of it, including that story of exorcism, some young folks forced to perform one the best way they know how, but does it work? Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You'll get access to the rest of this episode and all 374 bonus episodes. You get all of them, plus our archive of episodes, which is quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Believe me, I never thought I'd be able to say that sentence, but yeah, it's true. You get that. It's all commercial free. You also get advanced episodes of the show and other exclusive content as well. Video content, advanced episodes of me and Harper's new video series, Dad, Daughter, and the Dead. You get all of that. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to help keep us on the air. We greatly appreciate your support.